The Shining Girls by Lauren Bucus. Read by Christopher Ragland. Harper, 17th July, 1974. He clenches the orange plastic pony in the pocket of his sports coat. It is sweaty in his hand. Midsummer here, too hot for what he's wearing. But he has learned to put on a uniform for this purpose, jeans in particular. He takes long strides, a man who walks because he's got somewhere to be, despite his gimpy foot. Harper Curtis is not a moocher, and time waits for no one, except when it does. The girl is sitting cross-legged on the ground, her bare knees white and bony as bird skulls and grass-stained. She looks up at the sound of his boots scrunching on the gravel, but only long enough for him to see that her eyes are brown under that tangle of grubby curls before she dismisses him and goes back to her business. Harper is disappointed. He had imagined, as he approached, that they might be blue. The color of the lake, deep out, where the shoreline disappears and it feels like you're in the middle of the ocean. Brown is the color of shrimping, when the mud is all churned up in the shallows and you can't see shit for shit. "What are you doing?" he says, putting brightness in his voice. He crouches down beside her in the threadbare grass. Really, he's never seen a child with such crazy hair. Like she got spun round in her own personal dust devil, one that tossed up the assortment of random junk splayed around her. A cluster of rusty tin cans, a broken bicycle wheel tipped on its side, spokes jabbing outwards. Her attention is focused on a chipped teacup, turned upside down so that the silvered flowers on the lip disappear into the grass. The handle has broken off, leaving two blunt stumps. "You having a tea party, sweetheart?" he tries again.
"It's not a tea party," she mutters into the petal-shaped collar of her checked shirt.
Kids with freckles shouldn't be so earnest, he thinks. It doesn't suit them. "Well, that's fine," he says. "I prefer coffee anyways. May I have a cup, please, ma'am? Black with three sugars, okay?" He reaches for the chipped porcelain, and the girl yelps and bats his hand away. A deep, angry buzzing comes from underneath the inverted cup. "Jesus! What you got in there?"
"It's not a tea party. It's a circus."
"That's so?" He turns on his smile, the goofy one that says he doesn't take himself too seriously, and neither should you. But the back of his hand stings where she smacked him. She glares at him suspiciously. Not for who he might be, what he might do to her, but because she is irritated that he doesn't understand. He looks around more carefully and recognizes it now. Her ramshackle circus. The big top ring marked out with a finger traced in the dirt. A tightrope made from a flattened drinking straw rigged between two soda cans. The Ferris wheel of the dented bicycle wheel, half propped up against a bush, with a rock to hold it in place, and paper people torn out of magazines jammed between the spokes. It doesn't escape him that the rock holding it up is the perfect fit for his fist, or how easily one of those needle spokes would slide right through the girl's eye like jello. He squeezes hard on the plastic pony in his pocket. The furious buzzing coming from underneath the cup is a vibration he can feel all the way down his vertebrae, tugging at his groin. The cup jolts, and the girl clamps her hands over it.
"Whoa!"
she laughs, breaking the spell.
"Whoa, indeed! You got a lion in there?"
He nudges her with his shoulder, and a smile breaks through her scowl, but only a little one.
"You an animal tamer? You gonna make it jump through flaming hoops?"
She grins, the polka dots of her freckles drawing up into Dutch apple cheeks, revealing bright white teeth.
"Nah, Rachel says I'm not allowed to play with matches. Not after last time."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?